Hi and welcome to The Practice Gap, the podcast for closing the gap between the practice you have and the one that you want. I'm Elizabeth, a chiropractor, a business owner, coach and entrepreneur on a mission to help you move from frustration and overwhelm to clarity, focus and joy in practice. Hi, Eilif Harloff. I'm so happy that you are here in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Could you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I'm 51 years old. I have a family. My wife is a chiropractor. I have three beautiful kids and I work in Oslo. I did my degree in 99 in ACC in England. And so I've been working for a little bit over 20 years now.
20 years, that's starting to becoming an old chiropractor in the game.
Yes, I understand that.
So what brought you into the profession?
That's an interesting story because I actually started to study in computer science. I was quite good at computing when I was young, and I thought that was going to be my profession. But then when I was in school in engineering and computer science, I suddenly found myself sitting in front of a desk and in front of a computer. I really had to start thinking about, is this what I'm going to do the rest of my life? And it wasn't.
Well, that's a big leap from sitting in front of a computer to chiropractic. I can't wait to hear the rest of this story.
So I actually just went home and started thinking and asked my family what I should do. And I agreed with myself that I needed to work with people. So I actually started to work as a ski instructor for a couple of years.
How old were you then?
I was about 20 years old. So working with people as a ski instructor, I started to get interested into the health and biomechanics and skiing and things like that. I ended up starting to think about physiotherapy. But I had a couple of friends who started studying chiropractic and they said, you know, you should look into chiropractic. So I sent an application to ACC. I was laid out for the application, but I get accepted and I've never regretted ever since.
What made you want to, when you were in a ski instructor, why did you start thinking about physiotherapy?
I was interested in sports and I was interested in how the body worked and helping people. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know anything about chiropractic. I had a lot of back pain at the time. I was afraid to go to the doctor because I was sure he was going to tell me to stop skiing. And nobody said I should go to a chiropractor. But of course, when I came to chiropractic college and started to get treated, my back pain disappeared.
Yeah. So what excites you most about chiropractic right now?
I think it's the fact that we use our hands and we're sort of handcraft. I think that's the most important, valuable thing we have in chiropractic, basically. So I'm amazed what people can do with their hands and how we can communicate with our hands and how important it is to touch people with our hands. And chiropractic means doing by hand, so. Yeah.
When you use the term communicating by hands, could you tell me a little bit more about what you're thinking about?
I think that people can sense a lot with what we are doing and how we are doing things. A lot of sports people have been touched by a lot of people, different practitioners, and they can sometimes feel if you're good or not, because they can feel if you've touched many people and know how to do the tests or how to do the adjustments or whatever you do. So I think we communicate certainty and we communicate other things through our hands. So I think it's an important part of our profession is how to use our hands.
How can you practice for young practitioners out there? How can we become better communicators with our hands?
We just need to practice. We need a lot of patience and we need to practice on each other and we need to practice on our family and we need to be aware that it matters how we use our hands, mm-hmm. I think. So I think you just need to do it all the time.
Yeah. And also it's a big difference being touched by someone who's actually focusing on you compared to focus on something else. You can feel it very easily. When you talk about communications with our hands, we have had a little exercise when you touch someone as you talk with something, stress the person, try to, you know, talk about different things, stressful things, and then have the same person touch the practitioners with a nice smoothing, feel the person, feel the love, and the person being touched is just, it's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah, definitely. I think that also that, like you say, if you're scared, that's not good. If you touch the patient with scared hands,
it's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
And touching a child with scared hands is like that's a recipe of screaming.
Yeah. I think most people can relate to a massage therapist. If you go to a, if you call it a good massage therapist, you feel like you have a good massage. But if you have been to somebody who's not so good, then you really feel the difference. You feel like, you know, they didn't feel what was going on in my body. That goes for us too. But I think if you have 1 hour of massage and you feel like it's terrible only for the first 10 minutes, you just want to run away, don't you?
Oh yeah, you're trapped. Can you remember the first time that you actually felt that you were good with your hands? Like you're like, wow, I'm kind of, I'm getting this. Or I can feel with my hands, I can feel something more than just...
I think sometimes you feel like you know, but you maybe you don't know. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, I think I thought I was pretty okay. I practiced a lot in college. We practiced from the first, second year. We started to practice with all the students. And I think I thought I was like most guys do. We think we're pretty good at stuff.
High self-confidence.
But then, yes. But then as the years come along, you think, maybe I wasn't that good, you know, because now I can really feel. So I think it took about 5 to 10 years.
Yeah,
I heard this, discussing this on a podcast before, and I think definitely it takes 5 to 10 years before you, and you need to practice all along. I think some people, like Atle said, maybe some people never get there, and some people get there earlier. But I think you need to see quite a lot of patients before you can really get the experience. It's like sports, you know, you have the 10,000 hours concept where what you need to put in to be good. And I think we have the same in chiropractic.
I completely agree with that one. Could you talk a little bit about sports? Because I know that you're super interested in sports and chiropractic.
You want to know my injuries or do you want
to? No, I don't want to. Well, maybe. What is it that excites you about chiropractic and sports?
I think it's to help people to be able to perform on all kind of levels. So I think for the super athlete to be sure that they can win a race, or for a normal athlete just to be able to run, for somebody who has some kind of disability to be able to do anything at all. So I think all kind of level of that people can do what they want to, or maybe what they didn't know they could do, to make them just be better at something and master something that has to do with activity. Mm-hmm. That's what really excites me.
How did you get into, because I know that you've done a lot of work outside the clinic with people in sports. Could you talk a little bit about that? How did you get into that?
Back in beginning of the 2000, I started my own clinic, and together with Andreas, I had professional snowboarders coming into me.
Was this in Bergen?
This was in Bergen, yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were really super excited about what we were doing, because they didn't have any network around them with that could help them. And they had a lot of injuries, and they were not into the sort of the system in Norway with treatment and stuff. So they were really super excited. So they brought me along to their sponsor, Burton, and Burton invited me to come to Europe to one of the biggest contests in Livigno. There were about like 500 contenders. So I brought somebody who had a little bit more experience than me, and Ståle Hauge, and we went down there. We were flown down, and we had a good accommodation and food, and everything was really nice. And we were treating all these athletes until like 11 o'clock in the evening, and it was super fun. We were seeing so many hundreds of people and all the staff and everybody. And I met Ty Håkonsen there, and he really liked what he saw, and he liked the treatment, and everything was cool. So he said, you know what?
Could you just explain who Ty Håkonsen is? For even I know who that is, but could you just tell the audience who that is?
He's probably one of the most famous snowboarders in history that have sort of made snowboard history. He was a young kid from Norway, started off doing skiing basically, but he's rapidly changed to snowboarding, and he was sponsored by Burton quite early on, and he was developing the sport with tricks, and he was traveling around the world and became super famous. He's still riding and he's still doing good. So I met him down there, and he really liked to have that kind of treatment in his competitions called the Arctic Challenge, which was in Norway at the time. We started setting up treatment teams in all his events, and later on it became the World Championship in Norway in snowboard, and later on the X Games, which came to Norway. We had some years with a lot of treatment during X Games.
How many people were you then when you started out? Was it just you? Did you have a team around you? How was this set up?
In the beginning, it was mostly me, and sometimes I brought a colleague, and then it sort of developed during the years because it was so popular. The last few years, we had like 10, 15 in the treatment team. You had physiotherapist, massage therapist, and a lot of chiropractors. So it's been super fun to be in that great event.
It's kind of a journey from you alone to 15 people in a treatment team. How long did that take to develop in time? How many years in total are we talking about?
Maybe a little bit over 10 years. So it's been a long travel. And I think we set some standards because the snowboard community is, it's a community. It's different from all the other sports. So in cross-country skiing or alpine skiing, they bring their own physio. They have like a close team. But in snowboarding, people come from all around the world. They're professionals and they're really high athletes. But at the same time, they don't have any, normally they don't have too many physios with them. Maybe now they're starting to do that. But at that time, they were traveling alone. They were filming a lot. They were doing different competitions all over the world. So it was no system taking care of them. So they were super happy when we could help them out. And I had a lot of the guys, some of the best snowboarders in the world, calling me before they came to Norway and said, you know, are your team there? Are you ready to help me? I need a lot of treatment. I've had so many injuries. And we had to set up the clinic before the contest started because we had a queue outside that were lining up for treatment. So that's incredibly fun.
When you met the snowboarders around the world, it seems like in the word that comes to mind when I think about the snowboarding is kind of more free spirit, different, do something different. Just around the world, was there a different, did they have experience with chiropractic before they came? Could you see different from different parts of the world? Did you do any reflections around that?
Yeah, a lot of Americans have been to chiropractic, and some people have regular chiropractic and some people hate chiropractic and some people, but a lot of them have experience with chiropractic. Different countries in Europe, not so much. Maybe some people have in Finland, Sweden, Norway, but like in Germany, Holland, Austria, Switzerland, not too much. So we really had to do a good job for chiropractic and promote what we do. And when you're a sports chiropractor, you're a bit of a potato. You have to mix with everything. You cannot just adjust and send them out the door. You need to learn them about chiropractic. So a lot of them became big fans of chiropractic.
Do you have a favorite story from one of your games?
I have one which is not about one of the contenders, but one of the construction workers. That was not too many years ago. They were building a big scaffold jump outside Telenor Arena, not too far from here. And there was this guy, he's been working, he was like building this scaffolding, strong guy. And he came in to us and he had back pain for many, many years. 2 days later when he came in, because a lot of the times we treat all the staff and all the people around the events as well. And this was like the pre-event. And this guy came in crying a couple of days later. And he said, well, what's going on, you know? I've had back pain for so many years and now it's gone. I thought I had to stop work because of this. And you guys just fixed me in a couple of days. So that was one story about one of the events. So I don't think always it's about the athletes, but sure, I find some history in my head about the athletes as well.
Well, this one is fine. This is good as well. We talked a couple of podcasts ago with Atle, and he talked about giving in a lot of hours that you never get paid for. How has that been for you? Have you been paid for your work, or has this been your spare time?
It's been a bit of both. I'm not good at taking too much money for all of the stuff I do, but as long as I get something back for it, I'm really happy. And the energy I get from working with these people is great. But I've always said to myself, I need to get something. Also some cash for working, because if not, they don't appreciate what I do. So I've always done something and I've increased the amount as I get more and more experience. And in the latest few years, I had all the responsibility for the whole medical system in the X Games in Norway. So there was a lot of planning, a lot of meeting. I mean, we had like probably around 30, 35 people with medical doctors and paramedics and chiropractors, physios, all that. So it was a lot of planning, and that I normally take normal hours for and charge for. And I think we should normally charge, but sometimes you can do it out of your heart and and just be happy.
The guys who get treatment for you, or the women too, do they pay anything, or is it free for the people on the events?
Yeah, yeah, that's complimentary. So that's we're trying to get a good vibe around the event. So we treat both the staff and all the...
Can they bring friends and family?
I'm sure we have treated quite a lot of the snowboarders' family, which travel with them, like parents and other. And sometimes we feel like we're sort of promoting chiropractic around the world. If you have one of the most famous snowboarders in the world and you treat his father and he's really happy with the treatment, and I feel we're doing good for chiropractic and for him.
How is this, I know that you've been with Ridderemne, with people with a lot of disabilities. If you could compare and contrast those two arenas, what are your thoughts? What has been your experience different working with those different kind of
Yeah, I think it was, I mean, in general, it's a fantastic event. It really changed the whole of me being up there, seeing all these people that with all these disabilities, and they're so happy with just being able to be on skis. Or, I mean, some people can't hear and some people can't see and some people can't move. So just being there with them makes me really humble. And a lot of the top super, some super athletes are really picky and they're not too easy. And they if you don't fix them, they go try to go to somebody else. So with these people, they're just more thankful of what we're doing. In some ways, it's even more heart-filling to work with these people than with super athletes. Sometimes, not always. In one way, it's similar because you try to get people to perform better, like I said in the beginning, for all kind of levels. So in one way, it's the same work, but it's more challenging working with people with disabilities, like we talked about earlier with the hands speaking, because if somebody can't see, you really have to be careful with what you're doing with your hands, because they can really feel what's going on, and they shouldn't be afraid of the treatment, and they can't see you. And I think you really have to sharpen your edges when you work with people with disabilities. One of the guys I met up there, he had like 37 surgeries in his back. what can I do for this guy? And he made a huge record in his skiing. So that's really interesting to work at Ridderemne.
For younger chiropractors who wants to get into sports and chiropractic, what kind of advice can you give?
I think you need to start taking a lot of different courses. I was a course junkie, like probably yourself, for about 10 years. And when I started chiropractic, I was doing all kinds of sports courses in Norway and in Denmark and all around the world. So you get to know all the science, you get to know all the techniques, and you meet a lot of people. Maybe one of my strongest sides are I have a lot of network around Norway and in Scandinavia and generally all over. And you meet a lot of people when you take courses as well. And I think you need to hook up with people who are doing sports in your clinic, but also be in the arena. Like today, we have a chiropractor in the tennis arena close to our clinic. And we have people with a local handball team, and we have people with a lot of different. So you just need to start working with teams. Sometimes in the beginning, you have maybe to work for free, but it gives you patience in the clinic. And after a while, you start to get experience and have a lot of fun with it.
In the 20 years you've been working, do you think how has it changed? Is it easier for chiropractors to get into different sporting arenas? Are people more open now, or is it more difficult, or is it about the same?
I think it's much easier now. I think when I felt super lucky when I got into it when I was like in the beginning of 2000, because there was hardly any chiropractors working with sports in Norway. And still, I mean, it's hard for us to get in. There is no chiropractic at the Olympiatoppen in Norway, for example, which I find really strange. There are some chiropractors working with good football teams, but at that time there was hardly any. So I think it's definitely much easier.
So on that note, I think that's a good advice for the for the younger chiropractors, that it's easier now. So just go for it.
And it sharpens your edges, because when you work with sports people, you really have to know the science, you have to know the latest techniques, what they do in surgery, if you have to send them off for surgery. So you really have to be sharp and know all of your stuff when you work with sports people. That's why it can be a little demanding if you work with only sports people. And I don't only work with sports people. I work with normal people all the time.
Normal people.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Not just athletes. Everybody's an athlete. Isn't that what Nike says?
Well, that's true. As long as you just have the right shoes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Eilif. To sum up a little bit, you've done some really fun pioneer work in Norway in sports and athletes, and especially in X Games with snowboarders. I actually learned.
And skiers, actually.
and skiers also. And it's very cool and it's very inspiring. And we have one other quality that I would like to talk more about in the next podcast that you will be on. I'm so lucky to have you here. And that's communication then through your hands. So next week, we're going to talk about patient communication. I can't wait to hear all your thoughts on that matter, because I know that's one of your really good points.
Super. Thank you.
Along with all the other things. So thank you for this week, and let's meet in the next podcast.
Thank you.